Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouke Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Banking Reinvented. And today I'm joined by Kathleen Woodard. Good to meet you in the podcast.
Nice to see you again, Tim, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, likewise. It's been, I think, a year plus. We were in a webinar together with some friends from McKinsey.
Yes.
Maybe first and foremost, Kathleen, what do you do? What is the background? Give us a bit of the lowdown.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Kathleen Woodard. I lead the industry advisory team focused on banking for Microsoft. And so what that means is my team are ex-bankers, ex-consultants, and we focus on ideation and innovation of Microsoft technologies along with our partners for the largest banks in the US, Canada, and Latin America. And so it's a great opportunity to be at this inflection point that we have with the introduction of AI in terms of what that's going to mean for the industry. And it's particularly meaningful for me because I am an ex-banker of 26 years. So I have the lived experience of being in retail and wealth banking, and then being able to see the opportunities around how AI is going to transform banking.
It's the magic word of the market for this year already, if not 2 years already. So for today, indeed, together with Kathleen, we're going to double click on what does the whole AI wave mean in the context of the Americas. That includes as well LATAM, so USA, Canada, and LATAM. But we're mostly going to double click also on the USA context for today. Now, before we get started, Kathleen, in the podcast, we always share a bit of the news of the day or the week. And in context of AI, there was a report shared today by Bain, which basically showed the data points that as of today, 59% of the banks that they surveyed are developing or piloting a customer service generative AI implementation. And the other data point was that 56% of them are also doing this for software coding. So those are the top two, let's say, line items where actively there's being pilots ran with agents, both on the customer servicing side as well as on the software coding side. I thought it was quite an epiphany in terms of, whoa, so the move is very real and there's more happening than we imagined today. And especially on the software coding side, I felt, okay, let's unpack this a bit if we can. So maybe any perspective from your end, Kathleen, on these two data points?
That completely resonates. That's exactly what we're seeing. And so if you think about it, you're exactly right. It has been just over 2 years since the launch of ChatGPT. And so in the first 18 months, this technology, and we're obviously talking about generative AI as opposed to traditional AI and machine learning that have been around for many, many years, but this technology is the fastest adopted technology in the history of mankind, period. And so globally, there's more than a billion users of generative AI. And so when you put that also in the context of banking, to think about one of the very first introductions of really useful productivity tools was GitHub Copilot. It is the oldest living Copilot, if you will. And we've seen some remarkable productivity improvements in terms of code generation. So, you know, whether it's 15%, 20%, 30% code generation. And this is probably the very first generative AI technology that it was adopted throughout banks. And it's also consistent with what we're seeing in terms of how banks have been thinking about their deployments of AI. And so initially when this launched, everybody was, rightfully so, concerned about understanding the technology, understanding the guardrails that needed to be in place for a highly regulated environment like banking. And so there was a lot of focus on internal use cases, you know, not customer facing. But your point, you know, the stat that was just cited by Bain is exactly spot on. So now, as the market's shifting and there is, you know, these agents now that are being introduced, which is a whole nother ball game, that's actually transforming the industry. And so we are seeing very consistently banks are experimenting, doing proofs of concepts and MVPs focused on customer-facing chatbots, agents. And so it's really, it's an exciting time to be part of this industry.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time, I would say. So let's start with the first topic for today. And that's a data point from PwC. And they basically claim that 25 to 30% of AI automation is reducing operational workloads. So that's really on the operational efficiency side of the house, automating these repetitive tasks. You shared as well, like, this is the most easy starting point that everyone looked into. Would you say now, with the whole agentic AI movement that we see in the past 3 to 6 months, this has been supercharged and maybe that data point is already dated?
I think so. And so we are seeing, as I said, lots of focus initially around those internal use cases, whether it was enterprise search, content generation for internal employees. And there was a lot of experimentation with contact centers. Every large bank has a number of agents, folks that are sitting in the contact center. And for the most part, that's a cost center for the banks. And so every bank is trying to figure out what is the right ROI around some of these technologies. And so is it going to be reducing costs, or is it going to be something that's going to help to generate revenue? And one of the first areas of focus is on this efficiency play or in cost reduction. And so when you think about productivity, agents now are starting to change the game. People are trying to understand what this means, especially if you think about autonomous agents. So the ability to have these agents that are helping to redesign workflows and entire journeys within banks. We've talked a lot in banking around how do you get efficiency on whether it's the mortgage lending journey, whether it's, you know, the onboarding process for clients. But it has been very hard in the past to get a really nimble flow because you're using RPA or some of these other technologies. Now, with the introduction of agentic architectures, this means that you can have triggers. It can be reasoning over real-time data. And all of this is going to be human-assisted, right? So you're still always going to have human in the loop as much as you want and as much as you're going to be, you know, comfortable deploying this technology. But it really does mean that people are able to start to look at those end-to-end journeys and those workflows and start to apply these agents against specific parts of those journeys.
Would you say there's already a few examples in your realm in Microsoft where people literally have their own agent and they're actively working with that agent, making the agent better, and the agent is going to other agents for certain parts of the question or the business challenge that they have in front of them?
Well, so I would say, first of all, Microsoft with all things is customer zero. And so, you know, what we are seeing internally, we've had the good fortune to have this technology in terms of both the, you know, co-pilot capabilities and the very recent. So agents are quite recent in terms of the introduction into the market. We just announced this at our Ignite conference, just in terms of those kind of capabilities. But what you referenced, Tim, this multi-agent structure, I honestly do think this is going to be the way of the future. So you're going to have agents that are both acting on tasks. Then you can have these checker agents that are checking to ensure that there are no hallucinations, that in fact it is accurate context. And so there's a lot of experimentation going on in terms of this multi-agent architecture. Within Microsoft ourselves, I would just say, you know, we are obviously actively working with the technology. We are customer zero for a lot of these tools. And so just a couple stats that I would share, we have seen a significant increase in terms of deploying the co-pilot capabilities, so the generative AI capabilities within our sales org. And so being able to see an 8% lift in terms of number of sales leads and actually a 40% faster close rate within our own sales teams as a result of using this technology. And the last stat I will give you, and it's so large that it's almost, you know, hard to absorb, but we're applying AI across all parts of the Microsoft business, and we are looking to take out costs of $400 million. And this is because we're obviously experimenting with it every day. We are thinking about how to, you know, deploy this safely into various areas, including our own customer service centers. So I will tell you, I think this is not hype. This is not a technology hype. it is going to require many years to really for banks to figure out how they're going to be using this again responsibly. It is going to be a slow build because I think people are still testing out and trying to determine, you know, again, how do they do this so that they have, you know, a clean data, that they're accessing it, you know, carefully, that they're controlling the access. They're also waiting to see, you know, guidance from regulators and getting more comfortable with that means. So there's a lot of different complexities here, but again, like it's a real impact that I think we are just scratching the surface right now.
We talked about this quite often as being a serious paradigm shift, or it's a new technology wave, just like we had the internet wave, we had the mobile wave. Now we're really seeing the AI wave, not to be ignored. It's very transformational. Next to all the nice stories of what the potential is and the, let's say, cost saving that you could make at the level of a Microsoft business, what needs to hold true to embrace the opportunity? What are you seeing out there?
I think banks are having to answer tough questions themselves. And so within their own organizations, this is now, I mean, obviously every bank is dealing with some form, almost all banks dealing with some form of legacy technology. They're dealing with siloed data. They're dealing with siloed lines of business and culture, which, you know, has a significant impact. They're obviously highly, highly regulated, as we've talked about. And I think there's also the realization that banks are you know, grappling with the external factors around people are using this all the time. People externally, people in banks, they're using this technology in their day-to-day lives and their expectations. I know we always talk about increasing customer expectations, but this is a real thing. And so the same way every person, you know, just about every bank customer has a phone, I think in the future, we're going to start to see every customer that has some sort of Copilot agent, which means we need to think about for banks, what about the internal employees? Are they all going to have Copilot agents? And I think that the answer to that question is yes, but it's going to be a matter of how long will it take them to adopt that. And so if you think about some of the things they're grappling with, it's going to be which employees are banks going to enable and why? How do they think about AI innovation overall, right? And so how do they set up the operating models to help to deploy that safely and quickly? And then this whole build versus buy conversation, I firmly believe in what we're seeing in the market is that it is becoming a build and buy. I think people are understanding that the ecosystem and the sophistication of some of our partners and having a platform approach that allows you to buy some of those capabilities that are ubiquitous, but really then think about where do you put your engineering resources, your build resources against something that's going to be very unique to your value proposition and that is going to drive value. I think those are some of the questions that banks are really grappling with and that we're seeing, especially in the US and Canada market.
Building on top of that, that's exactly also the view that we have as Backbase, as a platform player, essentially. And we came to the realization that for, let's say, an AI architecture or an agentic architecture to become meaningful, it needs to tap into something. It needs to tap into an orchestration layer of sorts, which has all these capabilities, which has all these different microservices that, you know, initially were pretty deterministic, like you ask A and you get B always. That is exactly what we've been building for 10 years plus now. And that is more of an automation thing, right? You integrate everything into one single platform and then you indeed deliver channels, applications, APIs, what have you. Now with the agentic architecture on top, these agents can basically pick and choose whatever capability, data point, or process they need, combine it in such a way real time with real time data to get to a certain outcome, which is probably 10x that of an actual human individual.
Exactly.
Still, there's a human assist, fair enough. You mentioned that as well. But that's basically the wave that we're now currently seeing in the market. People have the aha moment. We go from automation to intelligence plus automation.
Exactly.
This end-to-end, a completely new operating model, potentially.
It's so true. And the way that we are thinking about this is that, you know, in the past, we've always thought about things in terms of apps, you know, many, many apps that every bank is deploying. Then you think about workflow and then all of the data. And so when we shift this in this new agentic architecture, we really think that a Copilot UI is going to become the new app. You're going to have agents that are determining that workflow. And to your point, being able to deploy agents against some of the most challenging problems. And so, you know, if you think about, again, like a front to middle to back office problem, like a mortgage lending journey, so challenging, so much paper still in this day and age involved. And it's very tough to always apply automation, becomes very brittle in terms of some of the RPA capabilities. This now, with the combination of an engagement platform, being able to access the data that you want and being able to now start to transform the end-to-end process with agents along the steps of the journey. So, you know, being able to collect documents, being able to use document intelligence against some of that, being able to quickly look at the credit submission, being able to use that for certain criteria that the bank has determined in terms of credit quality, and then being able to orchestrate all of the players in that journey on the back end, that's huge. That's really huge. And it's just the speed with which you can actually start to transform these really challenging processes. When you start to break it down into micro steps and microservices, it's really it's amazing, right? But we are, again, I keep saying we're early days, because, you know, I think people are now starting to see that vision in banks, but it does take a lot to be able to start to implement this at scale. And we're not seeing that yet in production at scale in the marketplace. But we are, to your, you know, where you started off this chat, we're seeing pretty much everyone experimenting with this and trying to determine what's the best unlock.
Indeed, it is still early days, but funnily enough, the vision is now becoming very clear. Like, there will be a moment where these agents have the capability to actually replace human labor. So they have the potential to optimize your efficiency side of the P&L. But they also have the opportunity or possibility to actually be part of the cross-upsell motion and do it consistently at a high-quality level without any holidays, if that makes sense. So there's a whole realm now being unlocked of, hey, this is the potential of this new wave. And to your own point, we're scratching the surface, correct? But we do already see the foundational patterns of what needs to be in place, right? I think technology-wise, you need to be in a platform position. You need to be cloud native to actually tap into those engines that have these massively funded large language models to support these types of efforts. That's not something, by the way, that you will do on your own. It's a bit of a big ask otherwise to fund this. And I think the next patterns are really coming to the table now, the use cases that actually make this very real. Now, given that you're looking after the Americas, could you give some color to what are you seeing specifically in the USA so far?
I think the USA has a very tough regulatory environment. It's you know, quite robust, I would say. And so as you think about the US banks, and obviously thinking about their adoption of cloud, I would also say that we are seeing some of the banks really think about how they start to adopt this. And so, you know, you've got a number of banks that are have had for years their own kind of internal chatbot. They're now looking at how do you turn some of these chatbots into more of an agent and a customer service agent, both within the call center, but, you know, externally to, you know, clients writ large. Conversational AI is really the redefining piece for banks. So the very, you know, painful chatbot experience that I think everybody has experienced, and which also made it not necessarily a great customer experience for many bank customers, this technology is now shifting it. And so we're seeing banks start to really deploy that. And so the conversational capabilities, natural language, being able to have customers query, help me understand the differences around my credit cards, help me understand what this item is on my last statement, help me determine what's the best investment fit for me. These are some of the use cases that we're starting to see that, again, this agent approach, this conversational AI is really starting to transform.
I was just thinking, in a way, this whole new AI wave and the new patterns that are emerging with agents and multi-agents and what have you, it's like a revitalization of how can you now transform your bank front to back, right? Because we've seen the different waves, we've seen the different major digital transformation programs where it's always been very large scale efforts. We talked about this quite a bit already in the podcast, meaning let's go for progressive modernization, let's go journey by journey, let's do it in small chunks in a composable flavor. So it's modular elements that you bring together. So you essentially slice and dice the elephant, which is nice. But with the AI view now at the table, you can probably expedite this twice as fast, four times as fast, maybe 10 times as fast as these agents are maturing. We were just having a conversation also here internally in terms of what does this mean to the integration effort that needs to happen with any given bank that goes into, let's say, a new platform implementation. There could be agents that actually do this work potentially for you to a degree, right? There's always checks and balances, but the grunt work, the forced labor, practically you can agentify that, if that is a word.
100%. And that's the exciting part about all of this. So if you think about whether you call it grunt work or any of those routine manual tasks that require employees to be doing that on a repetitive basis, any of that, you could start to look at agents. And I will tell you, your point around you could completely transform a bank's operating model and how they do business with this multi-agent approach, that is bang on. And that is a bold statement, but there are banks actually globally now, and these are not just small banks, but some very large banks that are starting to really look at that. And that's why, you know, as an ex-banker, we tend to be a little more conservative. And so I'm reluctant to get on the hype bandwagon. But when I start to see now, and to your point, people can see the vision now of how this multi-agent approach can be applied to all of those processes, all of those steps in any kind of journey. But then when you zoom out and you think about how do you have agents that are helping you with product design? How do you have agents that can start to look at every one of your customers? Because the ability here, like everybody has talked about a hyper-personalized approach and client segmentation, but you know the holy grail is getting to a client of one. And so actually being able to have agents that represent clients, agents that represent products, agents that represent processes and workflows, this is in discussions right now. We don't see banks that have done that, but it is truly something that even large banks are trying to understand what does that look like. And then to your point around speed, the name of the game has really, like as you're seeing with these LLMs, the costs are coming down, the speed is increasing. It is just the industry is changing so quickly that being able to look at being able to cost effectively deploy this at scale with using the enterprise controls, with obviously that's one of the benefits of using, you know, these large platforms where you have security controls, all of that already built into the platforms. The future is here, I will say, or at least the vision. There's many, many more steps that need to happen to make this reality, but yeah, it's not anymore just in terms of some of these smaller tactical pieces that we've been talking about for many years to mitigate risk, which is very legitimate. But there are banks that are going to figure this out, and it's going to change the industry. And you're going to start to see then, you know, some of the slower adopters start to rethink operating models from top.
That will be my next question. What's the risk of getting left behind, of not moving, of not, let's say, stepping into the realm of experimentation or really working on a 3 to 5 year strategy to get this in place appropriately? Like, what's the main risk if you don't move?
I think one of the biggest risks, and there are, you know, obviously keep talking about it, but it's just the reality. Banks by nature need to be more conservative. It's just a function of just how regulated they are. And so they need to be careful and thoughtful. But the risk in this situation is that the industry is moving so quickly. If you don't have talent and skilling that are comfortable with this in all parts of your organization. So yes, banks, as you know, in terms of, you know, we talk about banks as managing people's money, but the reality is many banks operate as a tech company. There's, you know, sometimes 20% of their workforce are developers, are, you know, serious IT professionals. And so for sure, having AI skills and talent is something that every bank CEO, you know, C-suite leaders are thinking about in terms of how you bring this on board. But it's not just the IT component, because as we've just been talking about, you know, even when we talked about cloud and the movement to cloud, that was really obviously transformative for the industry. But there was a lot of conversations around TCO, total cost optimization, and so on, ownership. And so this is different. AI is really about what's the power of being able to extract value, to drive business value, to actually get growth in your business. And so this requires a synergy between business and tech within banks. You know, it has been developing much more closely over the last few years, but it's going to accelerate. And so, you know, when you think about the risks of not deploying this, it's not just about IT getting comfortable with this technology. It's about all of your employees in your organization. You know, do they understand even just, you know, we talk now about prompt engineering. It's a whole new lexicon that has come into being, but helping employees understand how to get the most out of AI. You know, for myself, at Microsoft, we've had the benefit of having our Copilot capabilities now for over a year. I cannot imagine going back to a world without Copilot. It has just, in terms of how I do business, how I get ready for meetings, how I, you know, help to draft emails, how quickly I'm able to put together presentations, how we're able to communicate with teams, being able to now have project manager agents that help us keep track of some of those things that otherwise you had to have humans doing. I think that most banks now are thinking about how do we get every employee so that they are comfortable and start to get trained on and skilled at AI. And then also to your point, you know, as we talk about the democratization of AI, the fact that you have a natural language search capability and natural language instructions, this is a game changer, because now you have people. So if you think about business analysts, where before you had to have, you know, we always joked in the bank that, you know, anytime you needed to make any kind of change to a process, you had to throw it over the wall and it would be, you know, cost you at least $1 million and it would be 6 months later that it would be deployed. Banks aren't doing that anymore. So within each lines of business, you're now having people that are getting skilled at AI and using natural language. You can create that code to be able to make those changes. Now, you're still going to have to think about your operating model, right? So your central governance of IT with the lines of business, but this is already taking place. So I think the risk of not experimenting, getting comfortable, doing this in a safe way, in a low risk but high value way, that is very big.
I would also add that the, let's say, enablement of people to embrace AI and how to work with AI, it's not just a checklist of, hey, this is how you do a prompt, this is how you leverage this particular tool X, Y, or Z. It's literally a mindset shift where you almost have to remove yourself from the equation, because the GPTs and all the other agents will become superior to you in terms of capability. So how do you function at a 10x level almost, if I can make a bold statement, with those GPTs? And I think there, at least if I look around me and if I look at my own networks, then you do see a group of people that need or are going to be transformed, but they are not the transformers. So there's also resistance to change. There's a bit of downplaying, like, nah, impossible that AI will completely take over what I do here. You see it in multiple different pockets of crafts, whether that's in visual or it's in writing or it's in coding. The initial reaction is, no way, there's still this creativity piece or this piece of soul that will not be in there. I do believe there's that part that you bring as the orchestrator of the agents or however it's going to be called over time. But it really demands a major shift in your mindset on how you as an employee or as a player in the economic system stay relevant.
Absolutely. And so lots of questions around, so what is the unique value that you are bringing to this process, to this conversation? And so even, so if you think about from a frontline capability, relationship managers, I think this is a really common use case, whether it's in retail, wealth, commercial banking, corporate banking. People are finding ways to use AI and thinking about an agentic approach in all of those workflows. Because I think the belief is, like, ultimately, from a relationship point of view, as much as some of these conversational AIs and your co-pilots are these assistants now that are getting very good at having natural conversations. So it's not the old, you know, chatbots from before, but it's getting very good. But I think the belief is still there that there will need to be this human interaction, this social connection, the strength that an advisor brings or a relationship manager brings is not just the knowledge that they have, but also the ability to intuit, to be empathetic, to be able to problem solve, to be able to, you know, drive the kind of outcomes for the customer, but keeping that in place, but then being able to harness just the power of having faster data, better data, you know, more accurate information, being able to quickly act on any instructions, all of that becomes transformative. So to your point around a culture shift, yes, absolutely. I think people, like any new technology, there's people who are early adopters and there's people who are resistors. And, you know, and some of that is well-founded, right? There's been lots of hype in the market and lots of things that, you know, sounded like it was going to really transform banking and not so much. But I don't think this is it. I really do. We're already seeing it with banks. We're already seeing banks adopt generative AI. They're adopting co-pilots and they're now getting their heads around agents. And so it is a culture transformation because it's, you know, individually as a bank, you know, thinking about your employees, what do you want them doing and how can they transform? But it also means you actually have to change the way that you operate as a bank. Like, how do you think about, how do you prioritize the use cases? How do you make sure that you have both that, you know, good controls and governance at an enterprise level? But the whole point of this technology is that it can also empower individual lines of business, individual employees who are closer to the client, are closer to the actual problems in the business processes that need fixing, and they're able to actually come up with solutions rather than having to wait, outsource it, go to IT and do that. So yeah, it's going to be an amazing ride. And I don't think it's going to be just 6 months. I think this is going to be many years. But I think that there are important banks, large banks, small banks, every type of bank is trying to move quickly with this. And there's still some that are a little bit more in the wait and see. But I do think that there's a large risk of people getting left behind.
We're not ending on a high note now, but I would love to ask you for the one thing you would like the audience to take away. So what is one thing that any of the senior leaders that is listening to the audience, sorry, to the podcast can take away and do tomorrow in their organization?
I think that the more senior you are, as you're thinking about this, every senior leader that I know is asking questions and trying to think about generative AI and how that's going to transform their organizations. And to your point earlier, some are you know, wanting to move quickly. Some are a little bit more skeptical. I would just say this is one of those moments when leadership really counts. And so having the senior leaders get comfortable with it themselves. What we are seeing is that I think people intellectually understand some of this, but there's varying degrees of how much the senior leaders are playing with it, experimenting with it, and really getting their hands, you know, into it and seeing that. I would say that's one thing, is get comfortable with the technology yourself. But I would also say, you know, this is about a top-down and bottoms-up approach. And some of the banks that I'm seeing that are moving the fastest are deploying exactly that approach. We're seeing some banks in the U.S. where the CEO has just said to their entire leadership table, each of you need to think about how AI is going to transform your business, and you need to come back to me and give me some thoughts on this. The leaders come back, and the CEO said, that is not bold enough. It's not fast enough. We're not talking about making small tweaks here. I want you to be thinking about much bigger and much bolder, and really pushing his senior leadership team to think that way. And at the same time, line of business by line of business, functional area by functional area, having this bottoms-up approach where you're piloting, you're giving small groups of employees the power to look at what they can do. And that combination of both top-down and kind of bottoms-up experimentation is, I think, a critical factor for being able to deploy quickly.
So let's conclude for this episode that we are in a very transformational wave, the AI wave. There's an embrace already on the regular classic AI capabilities. Those are not new. They've been around for decades. Think KYC, think IDV, think credit checks, risk checks, you name it. Let's say the GPTs with Gen AI, that already to a degree is understood. How do I apply this to the day-to-day? There's a lot of use cases already popping up to drive more efficiency. And now as of late, it's the whole agentic view. Like, how do you bring these agents to life in the bank? What does it look like? What type of architecture do I need for this? How do I bring all my data together? How do I streamline this onto one platform to then actually bring it to the front line? Bring it to the employee to make them more productive and more successful, mostly, right? So that they're not just handling inbound silly requests that are easy for an agent to solve, but that they are focusing on the customer relation, the cross and upsell. Why not, right? That's exactly the opportunity you have there. But also bring it to the customer. Service them better. Really go for the segment of one, right? I think that's really everyone wants to be hyper-personalized already for many years, maybe already for a decade. But this is the moment. The technology is now there. You can go for the segment of one if your architecture and if your organization is organized for it. So I think that's also really a call to action to basically do a bit of an x-ray. Like, am I set up for success organizational-wise, leadership-wise, talent-wise, ambition-wise? But also, how is that reflected in my technology? Do I have the right ingredients to play the game? Yes or no? And then the last bit, I think the question to say, hey, what can you do tomorrow, right? As you get out of your car or as you wrap up listening to the podcast, thanks for listening, by the way, what can you do? I think I hear the top-down and bottom-up approach here very clearly. So top-down, ask for bold leadership, ask for ambition. And it might mean you have to go to the table a few times to be more bold and more explicit and really create a sense of urgency, because that's the thing that underlines this episode. There is an urgency to actually be educated, have a vision, and not be left behind. So I'll leave it at that. Anything to add, Kathleen?
No, it's just, last thing I would say, this is such a new technology. There are no, there's no blueprint for this. And so in a way that's daunting, but in a way I think it's actually incredibly exciting. So everybody is learning this in real time. We are all figuring this out. We're all understanding the capabilities. And quite frankly, they're changing day by day and week by week with some of these new capabilities. So yes, 100% urgency to get on board. But I just think it's such an exciting time for banking leaders to be embracing this and thinking, as you said, thinking bold, thinking big, and then figuring out how do you start small. And the combination of think big, start small, I'm firmly convinced that we're going to see incredible value for the financial services industry overall.
Kathleen, would you like to come back to the podcast in the coming period just to keep on comparing notes on what you're seeing on this new wave that we're riding?
I would be more than happy to.
Cool. Kathleen, thanks for spending time with us today and sharing your insights, and looking forward to seeing you in a future episode.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.